For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
Be the savior of the world, but I'll do anything that I can to be free. Call me home today. Welcome, everyone, to episode 199 of MSRcast, your metal podcast. I'm fucking happy now. That's some super peppy power metal.
We gotta get the show started off right.
Oh, yeah. You're a bigger fan of these guys than I am, which is weird because I do love me some cheesy power metal.
Yeah.
But I just never, I guess, listen to these guys a lot. The comparison I made when we were listening to it, I'm like, oh, these vocal melodies are very Halloween.
Yeah.
But it's very, it's taken to the next level, like Freedom Call, but I think even more than that. They're rung the ladder up a little bit.
Yeah, Freedom Call is the only band you can really compare them to, I mean, and get somewhat close.
Even though the last Freedom Call wasn't very good.
Yeah, but there's Power Quest, if you hadn't figured that out. They're back from the dead, back right. This year with a new album that just came out a couple weeks ago. And I've been listening to it on repeat because I have really anticipated this album. I had just gotten back into Power Quest like heavily just before they called it quits back in 2013. And I was crushed by that announcement. And
you called them and you said, hey, would you guys please get back together for me?
Well, I'm Facebook friends with Steve Williams, who's the founder keyboardist of Power Quest. And
hold on, dude. I think you dropped something.
And many others have told him, like, you know, we'd like to see you songwrite again. Because when Power Quest ended, he joined Eden's Quest kind of as a, you know, to help them out. They needed
Eden's
a keyboardist.
Eden's Curse. I was like, oh, that's another Quest band?
Who I think we played in the show a long time ago. But he didn't really get to songwrite for that album. And it was fine and everything. But I think we were all missing the Power Quest sound, which is very unique even in power metal. You're saying it's very happy. You know, the thing, like, Power Quest made one really traditional, maybe two. Their first two albums were very kind of traditional power metal. And then I think he kind of just, like, thought about, like, the music he really wanted to make, and he's really into 80s rock and 80s, like, you know, like, hard rock, like, from Europe, like, Europe themselves and the Scorpions, all that kind of stuff, and that sound of not quite metal, but the kind of glammy rock. And so he mixed the two, power metal and that kind of 80s style. Almost, sometimes, you know, you hear their keyboards and their guitar tones, and you think, like, Van Halen circa 1984, like that album.
You can definitely hear the 80s influence. I think my wife, when we're listening to it just now, she mentioned it's sort of like that retro band was Bjorn, the Night Flight Orchestra.
Yeah.
It had that guitar tone and that style to it during the solo.
I mean, I always hear Van Halen coming through, like 1984. I think, like, okay, yeah, that's, I can hear a lot of that particular song, like that blueprint. Mm. But, you know, and so he basically ran with that, and that's what the Power Quest sound turned into. A lot of, like, you know, power metal fans, that when they go back and they think about Power Quest, they think about Neverworld, which was the classic power metal album. But I think about their albums that came after that, Magic Never Dies, Master of Illusion, Blood Alliance. And the thing is, when they left, look, this isn't a big band. Steve Williams was, in fact, there's a Brave Words article that just came out the other day where he kind of talks about, like, the financial difficulties he had, which I'm sure a lot of bands have, where he was basically funding the band by himself the entire time, like paying for it, taking out loans, credit cards, whatever, and he amounted debt.
Oh yeah.
And he said that the reason why he put the band on ice and basically called it quits at that time was because he was actually going to lose his house over all that debt. So he works in computers, I think, in his day job. So he just started working crazy overtime hours to pay off the debt. And then he realized once that was done that he kind of missed having the band, and it was an outlet for him. And this time they're doing it smart. They crowdfunded, like, they're an EP. They did a lot of pre-order, like, type things where you pay for the album ahead of time, which helps fund the album.
Did you do that?
I did that for the album. And
so you have a physical version of the album?
No, I have the download.
The download? Okay.
But they have all sorts of things you can do to help them out. But now they have a decent record deal now with Inner Wound Records. And it seems like he's able to handle it a little bit better rather than just kind of like, well, no one's going to pay for this because it's uncommercial power metal, even though it's catchy as hell power metal, which is the paradox of Power Quest. They never had the exposure like Dragon Force, even though they kind of have
that quest for power.
Well, you know, I think the thing is, and I'm going to go into a little bit of fan speak here just for a minute, but like, they have embraced social media since they've come back.
Okay.
And they have been doing Facebook live streams like almost every other week when they were in the recording studio when they were rehearsing.
That's cool.
And just like after they would get done with a day's recording session, they would do these Facebook lives and update fans on what was going on. And because, you know, they're not the biggest band, there's maybe a couple like dozen of us on the Facebook live stream, maybe 100 or so. And they answer every question. And it just kind of became this thing I got used to, like on my phone, PowerQuest is live. It's like, oh, awesome, cool, check this out. And they did like dozens and dozens and dozens of these all throughout last year, all throughout this year. And they really kind of, it just feels like a family type thing, which is something I've missed having with like a lot of bands, where you're kind of like on the same team rooting for them, you're helping them out, you're willing to give money. And it's refreshing to have that kind of positivity in metal where so many times, you know, even it comes from me where I'm like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like the music they did on this album or something, where it's just kind of like, no, I will pay you based on what you've done for me in the past because I know that I know based on that, I can expect something good. I had no idea what was going to be on this album. And I'll tell you what, it's classic PowerQuest. It is a new lineup. They had a new singer. They're finding their footing again, but it is as good as I could have imagined it being.
So new vocalist, right?
Ashley Edison's new vocalist, yeah. He's from Dedendra is the other band that he's in, a UK prog metal band.
Okay.
But they got Rich and Paul back from the last lineup they had. They have two new guitarists, Gwyn Williams and...
Don't look at me.
I'll remember his name later.
The main guy, what's his name again?
Steve Williams.
What does he do? He's
keyboards,
right?
Yeah, keyboards and mainly songwriter.
Songwriter, yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, hence the prominent keyboard sound.
No way, really? Yeah. All right, that's very cool. I'm excited for you. I might listen to give that another shot. I'll listen to a little bit more.
Here's what I'll say. I mean, this is a good album for us returning fans. If you really want to get into PowerQuest, I can't recommend enough Master of Illusion to start with. That is the album to start with. It is just damn near perfect.
And this just came out, so it's available to listen to on all your digital downloads.
This is Sixth Dimension. This just came out 2 weeks ago.
The Sixth Dimension, yeah. And it's on Spotify. If you want to download it, you can go do that. You can do all those good things.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next topic, sort of. Unfortunately, this is the sad part of this episode where we have to pay tribute to a fallen metal god, basically. Yeah. I'm sure everybody out there knows that Martin Eric Ain, I never really knew how to say his last name. Ain, passed away about a week ago. He had a heart attack. He was young, too. He was like 50.
Yeah.
Man, but. You know, one of the founding members of Celtic Frost came back when they did Monotheist, like 2007-ish. Yeah. I saw him on that tour.
He was in Hellhammer, too.
Yeah, that's right. Hellhammer, that's right, back in the day. I saw the Monotheist tour.
I missed that.
It was Typo Negative, and I can't remember the other band. There was one other band. I just remember.
What a bill, man.
Yeah, it was great, dude. It was at the club downtown. They no longer do shows there anymore. But
engine room?
With an engine room. With the one, it was like upstairs.
Oh,
and there was like two areas.
Meridian.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Great show. They both put on a phenomenal show.
That was a terrible venue, but I loved it.
Yeah.
It was charming, even though it was awful.
That's where I saw Trouble with... the guy from Warrior Soul was fucking horrific.
I saw so many great shows there.
Yeah, I did too. I saw Lopez there a few times. Great place.
Yeah.
But no longer there.
Are we more sad about the venue?
No, we're not more sad about the venue. I'm just reminiscing about that show, really. Because it's sad. You think about it now, both bass players from those two bands that I saw are gone.
Yeah. And this is, you know, it did occur to me when I read this news that I was, because I remember my first thought was, it's all these things, all these deaths that we start hearing about are beginning to be not surprising to me anymore. And that's kind of one of those things of just, time is advancing.
We're getting older, and our heroes and musicians that we grew up loving are getting older.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Which is something inevitable. Which is something that is transcending metal. You know, it's just like actors you see passing away.
Yeah,
you know. Carrie Fisher and things like that, that, but that you're just sort of like, you know,
you gotta think about metal, you know, has been around for, think about now, like 40 years, you know,
right.
And everybody is getting older. Iron Maiden is getting older. Metallica is getting older. All the people that started like in the late '70s, early '80s are now in their 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
Some of them close to their 70s. You know, it's just inevitable for when our heroes are going to fall. And we've lost so many.
And it's weird because you just, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but you don't think about it in those terms.
Are you morbid?
I am morbid.
See how I brought that back to Celtic Frost?
But the thing is, I think we all sometimes take for granted the fact that we have this history.
Yeah.
And that we just sort of accept that, yeah, Maiden's around, you know, doing rec. Metallica's, you know, been around forever. Metallica was a band before I was born. Iron Maiden was releasing records before I was born.
No. How was Metallica around before you were born?
When did they form? 81?
81 or 82, something like that.
Yeah, they were before I was born.
Fuck.
No, but I mean, but you know what I mean. Like, metal has been around before we were born, and we just kind of came into it. It was always there. We sometimes take for granted that, hey, if we don't take care of this genre ourselves, this is why I do the Metal Pigeon. This is why we do this podcast. Like, and I know we've gone on about this before, but like, you start to realize there are no corporate entities watching over metal and being like, oh, well, this is your history and these are your albums. It's like,
it's
no,
self-done.
This is ours. We have to take care of it ourselves.
That's why there's so many zines back in the day.
Yeah.
There's still so many websites that cover this topic. There's so many podcasters and underground radio shows and college radio stations covering it.
Yeah.
It's not mainstream. It's not, I mean, parts of it have transcended into the pop culture zeitgeist, maybe, you know, it's Metallica. Everybody knows Metallica songs. Everybody knows who Megadeth is, even if they might have never heard a song. Everybody knows who Iron Maiden is, even if they don't know a song by them too.
But you know, like for example, with Martin, when Martin, you know, now that Martin's passed away, the mainstream media and stuff, they don't really know why he's important.
Yeah.
They just hear that, oh, some, you know, musician, some old metal band passed away. Well, we're the ones responsible for informing anyone who's interested why he was important and why the albums he played on were important to us and why they mattered. And we're kind of the who are those dudes in museums who go around and like tell you about all the important shit they have on display? We're kind of those guys just in metal, in life in general. We're supposed to be doing that. Not only us as hosts, but you guys as listeners, everyone as fans, you know, because that's all we are, just fans.
It's a close-knit community, I think. And that's why, which frustrates me, we're getting way off topic here, which frustrates me when people are bitchy about if you like a certain style of music, metal, or you like that band. Why the fuck do you like that band that you're not metal? It's all the same. That's one of the beauties of the show.
Yeah, and those people, whenever I do come across people like that, which is rare these days, but
yeah,
you meet them online, and I don't have time to argue with people online. But if I did, you just tell, like, metal is the most diverse form of music I think there is, popular music there is right now.
Yeah,
it is. You can have something as crazy as Power Quest, crazy happy as Power Quest, and then Celtic Frost, which we're gonna play next.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Scrambled eggs.
Dude, I had some Celtic Frosted Flakes. Delicious.
Very good.
Let's get into some, let's just call them Celtic Frost because that's what their real name is. We're going to get into two tracks here in tribute to Martin. First, we're going to do a song from the last album they put out, Monotheist. This is the song that he actually sang vocals on. It's called A Dying God Coming into Human Flesh. It's a trippy song, but it gets fucking heavy.
That's a trippy album.
Yeah, a trippy album. And then we're going to get into one of my favorites, one of my classics, Procreation of the Wicked from Morbid Tales. I was going between this one and Dethroned Emperor because I really like that song.
Was he on Morbid Tales? He was? Okay. Because I know he wasn't on To Megatherion, right?
I believe that's correct. He was only on the first two albums.
Yeah, and then he came back for Into the Pandemonium. And then he left again before Cold Lake happened.
Yeah, right.
If he left, and that's why Cold Lake happened, Not according to Tom. No, I read the biography. I know.
Are you morbid? Question mark. All right, so let's get into these two tracks, and we will be back to celebrate some Halloween style metal music.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. And
Welcome back, my friends, to MSR Cast. We are getting into our, I guess, sort of Halloween-ish portion of this episode.
Yeah.
Either the songs that are sort of horror-based. Yeah.
So about rotting.
About rotting, that kind of stuff. So let's talk about the band we just heard. We just listened to two tracks from Celtic Frost. A Dying God Coming Into Human Flesh from the 2007 album Monotheist, and Celtic Frost Procreation of the Wicked from Morbid Tales, their very first full-length album. Great shit, man.
What's your favorite Celtic Frost album?
Not Cold Lake. Maybe that one, but you know, I really like Dethroned Emperor. That's Into the Pandemonium, right?
Yeah.
It's a good album. I like both of the albums a lot.
That one's just the best. But I'll tell you what, I have a soft spot for Vandy Nemesis.
Do you?
Wings of Solitude is one of the greatest opening riffs to any metal album ever.
That's like early, weird, off-the-wall 90s thrash, you know?
Yeah. Kind of a weird, like, post-Cold Lake recovery album.
Yeah.
But it was... I love that album.
It's a good album.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
It gets overlooked by so many people just because they don't want anything to do with that period of like post Cold Lake type stuff.
So are you going to any concerts coming up or anything like that?
No.
Why I'm not?
Because none of these fucking tours are coming to Houston.
All right. So we'll get into that. But next weekend, here in Houston at Carbach, I believe it's Carbach
Brewery. Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing a Sword and Blue Oyster Cult are playing together at this event. And then there's this visionary. I can't think of what it's called. This is Visionary in Houston. It's like this bit, they're doing a bunch of a band and artists, and it's all these people getting together and then doing this, and there's comedians and all the kind of stuff. They're doing a weekend. It's I believe it's like the 11th. But one of the bands that's going to be playing is The Skull, which is, you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
It's Eric Wagner, formerly of Trouble. This is his more doomy band. He also has a new album from Blackfinger that just came out, which is more, I think it's more the, like what Lid did, that type of style, the Anathema in Nature.
Yeah.
That album he did. Lid is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Huh.
But The Skull, yeah, it's so great. And I'm super excited that they're playing here. They don't have to drive to Austin to see him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm gonna pull up their Facebook.
So it's gonna be at an art show.
It's like this weird art collective. It's really hard to figure out what the hell the thing is.
I've been to some of those weird art shows that are held in like warehouse spaces and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's weird to figure out what's going on even when you're there. Like, all right, what am I supposed to be looking at here? Yeah, it's strange.
Visionary Noise is the. For it's a local record label that's putting together.
Yeah.
But the event is called For the Community 14. I guess I've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a bunch of different November 10th through 12th at the Last Concert Cafe on Nance Street, right outside of downtown, just on the outskirts.
I remember going to a gallery show at this place in the Heights, which is kind of the, popular bar hopping hipster place in Houston, if you're not aware. But
I'm looking at their the band lineup. So they say the headliner is The Skull, formerly Trouble. That's not true. They're not formerly Trouble. It's members formerly featuring, of Trouble. So there's a bunch of bands that I don't know, but... let's see. Oh, Funeral Horse is playing. That's a local band. They do a lot of like cool metal covers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of artists and merchants and food. Like, I don't know. It sounds like a cool event. I'm going to see The Skull, so I'm buying a shirt. I'm buying their albums. I'm supporting them 100%. I'm going to try to get an interview with Eric Wagner too, because I have not interviewed him since like 97 when the Lid album came out.
Didn't he come here 95? Recently though for something else for The Skull?
No. Oh, not okay. In Houston. He came to Austin.
That's right,
recently, yeah. But yeah. I'm excited.
It's weird. It's me one of those shows where you go to and you're not really sure how many fans are going to show up, like, right, of the band.
Oh, I'll be there.
And who, what the crowd's going to be like. It's like when I went to go to that Theocracy show a couple months ago, right, and I was like, I don't know what I'm expecting here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the biker gang walks in. It's like, okay. It's really not what I was expecting.
Who else is coming that I'm looking forward to? Gwar is coming in November, the November 30th at House of Blues. I last time I was, I think I saw him like 3 years ago, right after they did that Odorous tour, like it was, which was freaking emotional. They did another couple tours after that, but
something happened to one of their members recently in the news, right? He had just got diagnosed with something.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
He just came out in the news today.
No, I didn't see this yet. I have the new album. The new album is, I've been jamming that a lot.
Fibromyalgia, I think, or something.
Really?
I don't want to speculate or anything.
We'll have to look it up. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
But The Blood of God, it's a great album.
It's a nice looking cover.
Yes. You know,
very, very Gwar-ish.
You know who did that, right?
Odorous.
Well, if you look at, if you open it up, there's a really cool tribute to Odorous right here in front.
Yeah.
But the artwork is done by, I'm trying to remember. It's hard to read. Oh my God. I feel old. Simon Beisley, who is a great artist from, he did a bunch of Judge Dredd stuff and that kind of thing.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So, it's really cool, man. I picked it up for like $7.99 at, Best Buy. That was a Best Buy.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Still have physical releases.
They do sometimes.
Yeah.
I also have the new Enslaved in my hands here.
You got that at Best Buy?
No, I did not get this at Best Buy. I got this at, where did I get this at? Vinyl Edge.
Vinyl Edge sells CDs?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Not a lot. Well, I mean, there's some, but a lot of it's older stuff. But they do have some new releases.
Right.
And Enslaved is one of my favorite bands, so I had to really support them and pick it up. Great album.
I am sort of tempted to go see him on Thursday, this coming Thursday, I'll admit.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I like their songs, but then again, I'm kind of like, this is their last tour, but I'm kind of thinking like, I mean, I'm not really that big a fan. I just like hearing their songs every now and then.
Oh, yeah, and also Clutch is coming with Devin Townsend. I got to go see Devin. Tickets aren't, they're only about $30, which is not too bad.
Dawkins playing at the,
I know,
the Proof Bar.
Let's go on this quick tangent. In Houston, there's a place called Proof Rooftop Bar, right? Exactly what it is. It's a bar / club in the middle of Midtown Houston. And we've discussed this on the show before. I think during July 4th, and a friend of mine lives on an apartment complex, building that he lives on the 24th floor. And from his patio, you can hear everything going on at the club. You can hear the band's plate performing. You can't really see it because it's probably about 6-7 blocks away from his building. But during July 4th, Love Hate was playing there, and I was listening to him while the fireworks were going off. And we went there last weekend. We hung out with him on the Thursday night and listened to Quiet Riot.
Nice.
Drank some whiskey, some bourbon, had some cigars, listened to Quiet Riot.
Hatebreed played there last night. I did not attend.
Hellstar is playing there soon. Dawkins is playing there.
I don't like this. Personal gripe. I like my venues that I like, and I like the shows to go there.
Well,
that's all I'll say.
We haven't been there yet, so you can't really complain yet.
Yeah.
LA Guns is playing there, and if you have not heard the new LA Guns album, it's really good.
It's
pretty cool. And they're playing there with somebody else, too. I can't remember, but I might check that out.
Sebastian Bach, November 11th at the Pub Fountains.
That'll be interesting. Oh, shit. That's the same day as the Skull, I think.
Saturday.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Baz.
Yep, you've been trumped by the Skull, Eric Wagner.
Belphegor Scout Bar.
Belphegor is coming?
November 14th.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've listened to the new album.
With Cal Decapitation's playing at White Oak the same night.
Nope.
That's stupid, isn't it? You figure those two bands could team up together and do like a package.
November 22nd, I'm going to go see Exhumed. Have you heard the new Exhumed album?
No.
It is fucking phenomenal. We're going to play that on the next episode. We already have our songs picked out. But if you listen to the episode of Metal Geeks that just came out, I believe it's 138 or 139, The George Hates Metal for this episode is Exhumed.
Oh, really?
And we're not, you know, Matt Harvey is a friend of mine. No, there's no biasness against that, but Dave and I really fucking love this new album. It's really good. So let's get in. You want to get into the tracks we're going to play?
Yeah.
Let's get into the first bit. Well, actually, let's talk about this new Dead Horse album.
Yeah.
Dead Horse is a local Houston tradition band. They've been around since like 89. Phenomenal band. I grew up on these guys. I went to see them so many times. The first pit I ever got into was at a Dead Horse show. The first time I ever did a stage dive. The first and only time I ever did a stage dive was at a Dead Horse show, yeah. Tracy. But they just put a new album out, came out a couple weeks ago, called The Beast That Comes. And they're playing a lot recently around Houston area, and I really need to make a point to go see them live.
Yeah, I'd like to go see them too.
But this new album, it is on Spotify. It's on all your digital markets, all that kind of stuff. So if you like what you hear here, if you like what you've listened to on this episode, support them, buy the album, buy the physical, buy the digital version, whatever you want to do. This is a band that I grew up on. I really need to get an interview with these guys, and we've talked about it before. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But we're getting into a song called How We Rot from the new album called The Beast That Comes. We're going to play this first. If you're an old fan of the band, you know Mike Haga was like, he did all the artwork and all this kind of stuff, and he was the vocalist. He's no longer in the band. He hasn't been in the band in a long time. They have a new vocalist. His name is Mike Argo. And when I was just listening to it recently, it's been bugging me of who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
He reminds me of the vocalist from Wrathchild America. He has that same cadence to his voice, I think.
Hmm.
So if you're a Wrathchild America fan, we'll let you make your own decision. But let's get into Dead Horse. And then we have another Halloween-based horror band coming up after that.
All right.
Let's do it.
Before you drag me away, before my world starts to fade, before I lay down and die, before you place the coins on my eyes, the fallen angel arrives. Is this hell or is this paradise? Where is forgiveness for me? Where is the love I tried so hard to keep? Where are all of my friends? I can't believe this really. Cycle, it goes on and on and on. It's all gone. It's all gone. It's all gone. So now I lay me down to sleep.
We should have recorded this episode two Fridays ago.
Because it was Friday the 13th?
We could have nailed the date on this song.
Oh! Don't be pulling me now.
Oversight on that. So,
all right, that's true.
Friday the 13th, the song from a band called FKU.
Friday the 13th, part two.
Part two.
FKU. They're a great horror-themed thrash band. I love them. They've been around since like 1999.
Huh, okay.
Do you know what FKU stands for?
No.
Freddy Krueger's underwear.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, I love these guys. I have their first two albums. Their first album came out in 1999 called Metal Moshing Mad. Their sequel to that, the second album was 2005 called Sometime Then Come Back to Mosh. They throw a lot of moshing titles into their songs, really, they do. The next album was Where Moshers Dwell. Then they have Volume 4, Rise of the Mosh Mongers. And then the new full-length coming out in 2017, November 3rd, will come out next week. As you hear this, it's called 1981. And the song we played, of course, is Friday the 13th, Part 2. And that song is super thrashy, super catchy, man. I love these guys. I've always liked them, but they've always sort of been under the radar, you know.
Yeah. Anyone in the bands we know?
Actually, I'm glad you asked that, because the vocalist is a guy named Larry Liesel, right?
Uh huh.
Not his real name. He's been vocalist for Darkane for two different albums, as well as Scarve.
Huh.
Do you remember that band?
No.
It was Dirk Van, I can't think of his name now. Line up, let me look up the Dirk Van Buren. Yeah, that's his name. He was in Soilwork for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, that was his sort of band. But he was a vocalist in that band as well as on two different Darkane albums.
Okay.
But everybody else is sort of not really known.
Yeah.
But if you like what you heard, go out and check these guys out, because everything. It's horror based. It's horror based thrash metal.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than that.
Sounding
really
good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really tight too. I guess, you know, that there's a band that's been around recently, Power Trip.
Yeah.
Which I like them. I've seen them live, but I think I like these guys even better.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think I saw Power Trip open up for they're from Dallas, I believe. They opened up for the Killthrax tour that had that horrible shoegaze band on it.
Oh yeah, Deafhaven.
Deafhaven, Joe. Yeah, we walked in on Power Trip and we saw like the last three songs, and then we suffered through Deafhaven.
Yeah,
we saw Anthrax, and then had to suffer through a little bit of Killswitch.
Yeah,
moving on.
I guess they're gonna do that at some point.
They're doing
point
a sequel
again.
To that.
Yeah,
which is weird. Killthrax 2. Who's the opening band on that? I can't remember.
Oh, I have no idea.
I know. Well, I know. Of course, Anthrax and Killswitch.
Is it about to happen? Like they're about to do it.
Soon-ish. Huh. They just announced it, right?
Yeah.
I got to look that up. Who's opening up on that tour? Wow. 2017 American tour. So it's going to be this year.
They're running out of time.
Boy, yeah. Let's see here. Ew. No, that was earlier.
Was that Creator Obituary... Midnight.
I think I have my shows mixed up because that was
Horrendous Run. Was that a Decibel tour?
Yes, I believe it was.
Okay, that was Decibel, right? Yeah.
So this Killthrax or whatever was Killswitch Engage and Anthrax, and I think the one I'm thinking of wasn't Killswitch Engage. Is another band like that?
All That Remains.
No, the guy went. It was he had all the trouble in jail in the foreign country.
Oh, Lamb of God.
Lamb of God. That was what it was. Yes, thank you. That's where I saw Power Trip, was Lamb of God.
Okay.
When in the Anthrax Lamb of God tour.
George was with you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes they just start going together. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So before FKU, we listened to a little bit of a band called Dead Horse. Band that sort of defined, it was like one of the very first, it was the very first cassette my mom ever bought me in the mall was Horsecore, An Unrelenting Story. I was so amazed that I could find this great local band because I used to hear them on KPFT all the time. And I found it in the mall. My mom bought it for me. I became big fans of those guys. I actually sent them letters in the mail. I was like 14 or 15, you know, and they replied back. I was like, so tell me what's going on with your new album and all this kind of stuff, which came out in 90, right?
Right.
Peaceful Deaths and Pretty Flowers. And they sent me a handmade cassette with demos from that album.
Wow.
I still have that, too.
You think they probably sent it to you because they saw you were a Houston address?
Maybe. I just...
Like, let's give the local kids some info or something.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It was cool, though. It was awesome. It meant a lot to me as a young metalhead growing up, you know, and they've always had a really soft spot in my blackened metal heart.
Yeah. No one sends physical copies of promos anymore.
They don't dub a version of their demo and send it out to people. You know what I mean?
You know, the entire time I've done the Metal Pigeon, I've only gotten one physical promo.
Oh my God. What was that?
From a guy called Eclectica. He's a one-man band in France.
Okay.
He sent me his album from France.
Wow.
Which was cool. And I definitely listened to it and paid attention and wrote a review about it.
So back in the day in like the late 90s when I was doing MSR, Mainstream Resistance, like the print magazine, it was all promos, which I have boxes and boxes of these cardboard sleeve promos.
Cardboard sleeve discs.
Yeah, now it's all digital, so which is cool. It saves a lot, you know. But it was really cool because you would come home every day and there'd be packages in your mailbox. Like, what is it? It was like so cool opening up these releases. You didn't know what you were getting. It was awesome.
There's a big part of you that misses that, right?
I mean, there is.
Yeah, because it's nice to get...
I mean, all those things are cluttered up in my closet now, but...
Yeah. It's just like, it's better than like looking at your email box and going, oh, I have so much stuff I haven't even looked at.
Yeah.
Like all these albums on my Holics or whatever. It's like, ah! So,
yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Let's move on. continuing with sort of like the horror-based theme. Do you know this band, Toe Hider?
Well, I know you've talked to me about them before.
Yes.
So that's why I recognize the name, but I don't think I am I'm putting faces to the name. I also think that's a really weird name for a band.
It's the guy's last name.
That's right. Okay, this is why. We had this discussion on the show before, where I even said that was a weird name, and you mentioned him.
Yes, he's been on the last couple of Arion albums. That's okay. How I got into him.
That's where I'm remembering his name from. He was on the new one.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. Toe Hider, yeah, so...
And if I recall correctly, he did some of the better vocals on that album, too. Like,
yeah, he did a lot. Moments. He did a lot of the weird. So the newest album on The Source, he did a lot of the. He did like a lot of mixed overdubbed vocals.
Yeah,
he's really high range. It's really cool avant-garde, you know, proggy stuff.
Right.
It's sort of rocking. It's all over the place. If you can wrap your mind around this band, you'll like them a lot.
Huh.
This is one of the most on the album, the new album, which just came out called Good. This is one of the most, I guess, acceptable songs where people could get into it more than like some of the other stuff on the album.
Yeah,
but I think you would dig it because you like off the wall weird stuff, and that's definitely what they are. They're an Australian band. A really great band, Toe Hider. They have a lot of stuff out there. So if you like this track, go check them out.
All right.
And then we're going to have something completely different after that.
Oh, yeah.
180 degrees different than some Toe Hider. So let's check that out, and then we're going to get into, what is this?
How do ghosts work?
Right. What are we going to get into after that? Do you want to let people be surprised?
Let's let them be surprised.
All right. We'll be right back.
It came in through my kitchen window. And I don't know if it knew that I was watching, as it helped itself to all the food in sight, gluttonously cramming things into its gullet. But it passed through my kitchen window there alright, and I could hear its dragging chains across the floorboards. How were they not just falling through the other side?
Oh, Yeah.
Welcome back, my friends, to episode 199 of MSRcast. And we just listened to something from the brand new Exhumed album. I got to say, I fucking love this album. I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's butt because I am, I'll admit this, I am friends with Matt Harvey now because of these podcasts. But if you're looking for high quality, well done death metal in the style of Carcass with some fucking amazing guitar work.
That's a good comparison.
Oh yeah.
The Carcass compare. Yeah.
It's melodic, but being death metal, you know what I mean? Cause Carcass, Exhumed, they both have this, ability to be super fast, but have these intricate, really catchy, melodic guitar riffing. You know what I mean?
As weird as it say, weird as it is to say this, they're a little bit dirtier than Carcass, though. Modern Carcass, right now,
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Surgical Steel Carcass, though.
Well, which was a great album too, though.
Oh yeah.
The past couple albums these guys have been doing, it's been going in this direction, and you know, of course, the last album they put out was 2015. They re-recorded Gore Metal in the new, you know, with new production quality.
New production, yeah,
yeah, because it definitely needed it. I think that album's like 20 years old now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I fucking love this album called Death Revenge. It's a concept album about a serial killer in the 1800s.
I like the cover art.
Yeah. The cover art's great. It looks, it's great. It's very retro. You can even see like there's like fold where like the poster would have been folded. Like it was an old,
right,
you know, yeah, 70s like style, like, you know, gore horror movie, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, there's three or four songs on here that are symphonic in nature, keyboard driven, that were done by Matt Harvey, written and performed. They really are creepy, and they fit the style of this album so well.
Yeah,
it's a really cool album. I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, Exhumed, Death, Revenge, and of course, they're playing here November 22nd. I'm going to try to go to that show, even though it's a Thursday night. Maybe try to get another interview with them and talk about the album and talk about all the new Marvel movies and stuff, because he'll geek out on that shit.
Right.
So, and I think he likes coming to talk to me about that shit, because there's no other outlet for him to do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Thor, you know what I mean? Thor will be out by that time, right?
Yeah, Thor comes out next week. So, yeah, you're right. It will be out.
Yeah.
Which is post early reviews are saying it's one of the best and funniest Marvel movies.
Justice League will be out by then, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Sore spot.
No, I'll probably go. I'll still go see that. But, you know, we'll talk all about that kind of stuff on the Metal Geeks podcast.
Yeah.
After we see that. Yeah. And before that, of course, we talked about Toe Hider. The main guy behind the band is a guy named Michael Mills. They're Australian, and it's sort of a one man style project, but he has musicians working with him. It's great. Go to his Bandcamp, toehider.bandcamp.com, and you can see all the releases he's done. A lot of singles and EPs. He was doing an EP a month for like a year straight. It's crazy stuff. Crazy amount of.
That's why there's so much stuff up there.
Yeah, there's. It's a crazy amount of actual music available from these guys, and let me get your opinion on it now that we've listened to that full song.
No, I liked it. I liked it musically. You know, the lyrics. I'm a lyric snob, so some of the lyrics were clunky, but I don't.
You
really
say
hold
clunky.
That against
I say
them.
Eclectic. If you, it's very much in the style of like when Devin Townsend gets awkward and weird, that type of stuff, in my opinion. This guy's a great vocalist. He's a great songwriter.
Sort of Rivers Cuomo-ish in his awkward and weirdness.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I can deal with that. That's sort of cool.
Yeah.
I really like Toe Hider. And, you know, him being a part of Arion, almost a full-time vocalist in the band, because he's been on the last couple albums. He's performed on that Arion Universe show. So he's like one of his go-to guys now, you know? And I really, really like this new album from Toe Hider. So if you liked what you heard, go and check out the rest of their stuff, because there's like 82 other albums or something like that. There's a lot. Yeah. I don't, it's not that many, but it's a lot. I guess we're getting close to the end of this episode, man.
Yeah.
What's your plans for Halloween? What are your traditions? What are your Halloween traditions?
I don't really have any Halloween traditions.
You don't watch any horror movies or listen to a certain thing? Or?
Not really. Well, no, the only thing I do is I listen to King Diamond, usually on Halloween.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think it's the only thing I have that I really do consistently.
I always listen to the full-length version of Halloween from Helloween.
I never do that. I think I see you post it all the time.
Yeah, I post it every year. That's a good one. I try to watch a new horror movie that I've never seen around this time of the year. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of new ones on Netflix I've never seen. Stranger Things season 2 just came out, so that's a good thing to binge during the season.
Yeah, I just realized that today, actually.
We were just talking about on the Metal Geeks podcast. We had a whole discussion about our Halloween traditions, but I've never seen The Shining. And I've never seen that movie Trick or Treat, the newer one that came out, the compilation sort of movie.
Yeah.
And Dave, our co-host over there, said I should definitely watch that.
This is a Metal Geeks topic, but like, I got to tell you, most horror movies don't do anything for me.
I don't.
They're not scary to me.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not what they call torture porn, horror porn guy. I don't. That doesn't do anything for me. It's not like I've never seen a Saw movie.
I've seen the Saw movies, and after the first two, you're kind of like, all right, it's enough.
See, I just never seen that kind of stuff. I like a good, scary horror movie, you know what I mean?
You know the scariest movie genuinely freaked me out was The Witch.
Yeah, so I was about to say The Witch.
That was effective. Did More stuff like that,
please. The main girl from that movie is going to be in the New Mutants movie coming out next year. Have you seen the trailer for that?
No.
Okay, so this is getting way into Metal Geeks territory, but we'll take a quick little tangent here. The New Mutants movie, I was a huge New Mutants fan growing up. Cannonball and, you know, Wolfsbane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Love that series. The version that the movie they're coming out, it's definitely a horror-based movie. I'm going to show it to you. You're going to be like, if you guys have not seen this out there, go watch the trailer. You're going to be really surprised of where they're going with this. I mean, right now it's a trailer, so they can cut a trailer however they want and have it to have a certain feeling. But they're saying this is going to be a horror movie. And it has the girl from Game of Thrones in it, Maisie Williams?
Williams, yeah.
Yeah. And the girl from the Vavitch, the witch, is in it.
Nice.
It looks very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, back to metal.
All right.
I think that is the last, you know, the end of this episode. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up next episode, including, you want to give a little hint? Some Primal Fear.
Yeah.
We have a couple of local bands. We have a local band to Houston that are good friends of mine called Wolf Skull. If you like The Misfits and you like Entombed, put those two together, you're going to like these bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might even play a little bit of Guar. How about a little LA Guns to mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, they have a new album.
Yeah, they do. And it's actually pretty good. So that's the next episode. Right now, we got to say that thanks for tuning in to episode 199 of MSR Cast. We are one episode away from hitting 200. Finally made it there, man. I'm happy.
Long slog.
Yeah, it's been a long trudge to get there, man. But you can find us, of course, on all of our social media at MSRcast on, let's see, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is MSRcast Official. Find us all there. You can find, of course, our sister show at Metal Geeks on all the social medias. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher and all those places, Google Play. On iTunes, it's one feed, so you get both shows. And you can find, of course, my illustrious co-host on his social media at...
At The Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
We make it simple for you guys.
Yeah.
We're sticking all this metal in your head so you don't have any room to figure out how to find us on the internet.
I'm liking Instagram a lot more. I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I got a little promotional thing going. It's going good. Yeah.
Good. You should take over our MSRcast Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, Brian does a good job.
He doesn't do well. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. We'll talk about off camera, as they say. But let's get into the last band. This is going to be another complete different ending, a nice, soft, and gentle ending to this horror-themed episode.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about this band. This is, of course, Mirkur.
Yeah.
Am I saying that correct?
Mirkur, yeah.
Mirkur.
Yeah, that's Mirkur. The only way we can say it. I mean, who hasn't heard of her, you know, in metal? I mean, this is one of the most talked about artists in the past couple years.
You're
certainly
right.
Right now.
She's like a one woman metal, black metal project.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like, all the controversy aside, I mean, if you really want to read about the controversy, you can go on the internet and Google her and everything will come up. But the thing is, she's genuinely talented. She writes a lot, you know, most of the music for her work. And this is her second full-length album. And the first one the first album came out in 2015. I was sort of like half and half on it. I kind of ended up liking more of the ethereal, kind of dark Enya type stuff she was doing, and kind of less of the black metal kind of sound, like some stuff that Elver had done in the mid-90s. And I was like, okay, I've already heard that before.
Yeah.
What she's done the second album is she's kind of stripped away a lot of the pure black metal stuff, and
really?
She's done like where she'll, you know, there's stuff on this album where she'll have black metal music going, tremolo riffing and blast beats going, but she'll be clean singing over it, and it's a weird kind of juxtaposition. And then a lot of the album is just different type of folk music in like, you know, Scandinavian folk music mixed with kind of dark atmospheric stuff. There's metal on here, but it's like kind of blended into everything else. And she's really, I think, doing something very musical and new with black metal that hasn't been done before. And as much as that might irritate some people, mm-hmm. it's just listen to this album, give it a shot. The song we're going to play is one of the more gentle, folky, calmer, kind of Tori Amos inflected songs. But there's one song on that album where there's a moment of silence in the middle of a song, kind of an ethereal, atmospheric part, and you can hear the little strains of black metal seeping in around the edges, almost like water about to engulf the hull of a ship. And it's just this, and then, you know, it crashes in and the riffs start coming in. And it's like stuff like that. This album is full of all that ear candy. The album is called Mærid, which is nightmare in Danish.
Okay.
And the entire album was a kind of a thematic album about these nightmares she was having recently, a year ago or something. And she was having sleep paralysis. And so instead, you know, I've actually had sleep paralysis. It's one of the most terrifying things I've ever gone through. When I didn't really know what was going on until I started reading about it, I'm like, okay, that's what it is. So I'll know next time. First time I had it, I was absolutely terrified. First couple times I had it. And so that kind of drew me in more to this album of like, okay, yeah, it's something I've been through. And her talking about it, it's like on the album, most of it is in her language, but there's stuff she does in English, which is like on the song we're playing. I don't know. I think it's really good. I think it's honestly one of the most interesting albums I've heard all year. And I didn't expect to say that about her. I kind of thought she would just kind of repeat herself, but
yeah,
she didn't.
It's interesting to hear. Yeah. I'm going to have to listen to more of it. I've heard this song and maybe one or two other tracks off the album.
It's just
on a couple different playlists.
It's a very intriguing. You know, when you're doing something, you're at work, put it on. It's like one of those albums that can go in the background and it won't seem out of place.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's get into what's the name of the song? I'm sorry.
Death of Days.
Death of Days. Perfect. From Mærid.
Mærid. I guess that's, yeah.
So that's it. Mærid is going to finish off this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a happy holiday. Have a happy Halloween. Get a lot of candy. Play a lot of metal. And as always,
keep it metal.
Indeed. Thank you.
Listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.